Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Sing it again.
Oh, yes, now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord is,
thank you, Father,
a strong tower, the righteous run into.
Go ahead and give him a good hand clap of praise tonight.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. The weather's kind of rough on the outside, but it's going to be getting warm in here tonight. Praise the Lord. You're glad to be a Christian tonight. Are you glad God let you come back to his house one
Amen.
More time?
Thank you, Lord.
To worship him in spirit and in truth. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Pray for y'all, play some more of that. We'll sing this one.
A strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Daniel Barclay says, Brother John Haynes, after Wednesday, now is, I guess this was after prayer was offered for him on Wednesday, now getting proper medical treatment, thanking the Lord for a closer walk with him. So we praise the Lord for that, that God will just be with him. Sister Judy is in need of our continued prayers for complete healing. So we certainly want to continue to pray for her tonight. Sister Brenda Harmon, homesick with a very bad migraine headache. So let's remember her as we pray. Brother Baker's procedure went well. Wants to thank the Lord. Needs our prayers as he recovers. So let's remember him tonight. Want to pray for Sister Jaretta Stockton. She has a kidney stone. So we certainly want to remember her in prayer tonight. Brother Samuel Shuffer wants us to remember his mother in prayer, suffering from diabetes, depression, and anxiety. Also pray for Austin Tucker, wasn't able to make it to the service tonight, so let's remember him as we pray tonight. Sister Phyllis and Brother Pinky want to thank the church for remembering them. Sister Phyllis will be going Tuesday to have her cast removed. Pray that her foot will be healed where she will be able to walk. So we just really want to remember her in prayer tonight. I know they're desirous to be in the house of God, and let's just pray that all will go well with her on Tuesday. And Sister Meredith Maxwell, bless her heart, she's back in Tennessee. She's here in service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. I know that she's very thankful in her heart, and I know that her family is very thankful. The Lord was gracious to her, a very serious car accident, and well, she's able to be in the service tonight. And well, God's just good to us, isn't he? He cares for us, and he's watching over us sometimes when we think he's a million miles away. I'm glad he cares for us, don't you? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Amos, why don't you come tonight? Or if you're not able, your voice not able, sorry about that. Let me make these a couple of announcements before we pray over these prayer requests tonight. The deacons are going to be watching the weather outside. There's still some freezing rain, maybe some ice involved in that. And I spoke to Brother Dale Smith. He's going to be speaking for us tonight. He and his wife are here. She's going to be singing either tonight or in the morning, both, if she will. He said he didn't have a bit of trouble until he got right here at this parking lot. So the deacon's going to be watching the weather. And tonight, don't forget, your clocks need to be set back 1 hour. So remember that. Set them back 1 hour before you go to bed tonight. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Are you glad you're on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Are you glad God brought you where he's brought you to?
Amen.
Any good to us tonight? Brother Brent, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask him to have his divine will. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you've let us gather ourselves together, Lord, under your word. We just thank you for this great privilege, Lord, to be called. Thank you for washing us, Lord God, for separating us away from the thing that was just ailing us, Lord. We just thank you for giving that drive to us, Lord God, just to be able to just seek you, Lord, and seek your presence. And Father, we ask that you just be mindful of all these requests, Lord God. You're aware of each and every one, Lord Jesus. And we're thankful for all the testimonies that's come through, Lord God, of your grace and your healing. We just pray that many more come through these, Lord. May your perfect will just go according to them. And Father, may you bless my brother here, Lord, as he comes out to bring us the word, Lord. May you just help get him out of the way, Father. We've not come to hear a man, Lord. We've come to hear you, Father, for you know what we have need of. And God, we just pray that you just minister to us through the word, and pray that you just help us, Father, just to climb higher, Lord God, just to keep pressing on, Lord, just to not look at the things of the world, Lord God. Yes, Father, we just pray that you just bless the service tonight, Lord God. May you just anoint the musicians, anoint the singers. May you just have your way with the service, we pray, Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray you'll be a great blessing to them. Let's sing a song tonight. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, I've got a lot to thank you for, don't you? Amen. Let's sing about it tonight, if you will.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled,
oh, yes,
the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. Every battle that I fought
will fade from memory.
I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
It's not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall.
Oh, yes, sir.
When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you'd lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
Oh, for the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought, it'll fade from me.
And fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
We will join the millions,
every
kindred, tongue, and race. And every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil, we'll all stand together,
yes,
and declare, Jesus is Lord.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought,
it'll fade from me.
Sing that second verse again. I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought,
it'll fade from me.
My memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me.
Just before we change the order of the service tonight, Brother Joel Brown, if you come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Sister Smith, you want to give us a song tonight too, right? If you want to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. I told Brother Dale we might give him the service just a tad early tonight. And I said, this depends on how good it's going out here. We might not. So we'll just see how things go. But let's sing this song tonight, a little old chorus that we've sung a lot around here. But it's still true and it'll always be true. God is good all the time. He has never made a bad decision. His decisions are eternal. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready.
Kind of sort of like us. We get tangled up sometimes, don't we?
Amen. Here we go. Step over this way.
Just give us the key of G. My little buddy was supposed to be up here. Zion, you want to come, man? You want to come? He's supposed to sing with us. I don't know if he will or not. He's not coming. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Lord, my heart can go so far away and calm, but yet for Your love is still the same. Lord, I bend my knee in awe and fear of Thee. My head bowed down in reverence to Your name. Lord, is to be filled with the Spirit.
When the enemy
Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Dale Smith comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. You going to pray for your brother? You going to pull on the gift of God? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I really am awake. Turn around and tell somebody they're awake. If they're not, slap them. Wake them up. We're ready to have some church here tonight, right? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing, I'm going to keep pressing on. Let's sing, I'm going to keep pressing on tonight. Now, just because it's cold and weary and dreary outside, we don't want to make it that way in here. We want to have some church here tonight. You pull on the gift of God, God will use our brother. You believe that with all your heart? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pressing on to the higher calling of our Lord. Yes, I'm going to keep pressing on.
Stop me, turn me aside. Say no need for me to go on, no need to try. Even if there's a rapture and a heaven, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again.
Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come into your house this evening, Lord, to be gathered with the saints of light. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, as we gather, Lord, every lick of fire together to make one, Lord, roaring inferno, Lord of the sweet Holy Ghost of God. And we pray, Lord, that every sin and trespass would be laid at the foot of Calvary. Lord, that our hearts would be pure and sanctified before you in love, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'll come tonight and heal the sick and the afflicted that are among us. God, that you'll speak to every heart and every life. Oh, Father, that we, Lord, that we can come into your presence, Lord, and all the wrongs that are in our lives, oh, God, that you'll make them all right. And, Father, that we will, Lord, that we'll have perfect peace whose hearts are stayed upon thee. Lord, we just pray that you'll watch over us this evening, Lord, and, Father, that you'll brood over this little church, Lord. And, Father, as you brooded over the original chaos and brought forth, Lord, an Eden condition, Lord, may you brood over this church. Church here tonight, oh God, and may there come such an Eden condition, Lord, that the spoken word of God would be revealed to us, oh God, that we could live in that perfect manifestation of the third fold of your word, Lord. We pray, God, we just love you and we praise you tonight, and we ask you to be with us in Jesus' precious name. We pray. Amen. God bless you, friends. If you have your Bibles, I invite you straightway to the scripture. Into the book of St. John, chapter 1. Thank you very much, sir. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And there, we just a little evangelistic thought on my heart this evening. We just want to title our message this evening, Follow Me. And we want to begin reading
Let's begin reading at the 43rd verse, St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 43. And the day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Johnson City? Elizabethan, Beaufort, South Carolina. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, How knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered, said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee that I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And may the Lord Jesus bless the reading of the word this evening. And you make yourselves comfortable. We want to greet you from the saints and down in Beaufort, South Carolina. Amen. I trust they're doing all right. I ain't seen them in a while. I think it's been about a month since I was home. So we were looking to be home this weekend. Cover for Brother Jason. And I got the call or the text, and I had to do some scrambling to get Brother Jason to let me off the hook. He said he gave me a release of lien, and so he said I could have the weekend off to come up here. I really kind of owed Brother Donnie. He had asked me two or three times, and each time he'd. He had asked me if I could cover a certain, he was diligent. He was a month in advance. And I'd be over in some far off land in another country somewhere and surrounded by Muslims. But we thank the Lord. We got to spend about a month in former Yugoslavia and in Turkey. Me and my wife, and she's quite the missionary. I didn't have to preach on holiness one time while I was over there. I just put her right there in front of them. I said, there's my sermon on holiness right there. And you'd think it wouldn't work, you know, some of them people, they'd never heard the gospel preached, you know, in light of the message of the hour. And, you know, they'd come looking kind of rough, you know, in one service. The next service, they'd come looking a little better. You know, and I never said a word to them. And so, you know, you just don't know what kind of a sermon that you preach with a life lived. Amen. Is that right? But man said it's the seed word manifested. And so we were there with him in Turkey for about 12, 13 days, something like that. And services almost every evening. And it was just a wonderful time. But friends, you don't realize what you have. And we don't go to the foreign fields to come back to browbeat the bride that's in America because, hey, you're a select group of people. You were chosen from the foundation of the world and given the ingredients to survive in this day. There is no other age that could survive the things that you're surviving and can still hold your head up and say, I'm a believer of this message. And so, I would have to say that all the ages would take their hats off to the bride of this day. At least the prophet told us that they would. And so, while we were there, just a brief bit of testimony. There was the people that we were ministering to are the You've heard of the brethren that were in Iran that were held and given death sentence. Brother Yosef, Brother Ben, the different ones that are there. Brother Ben actually, Brother Yosef has got released, and now they have Brother Ben. I can't say their names too good, but I just call him Brother Ben. Most people know what I'm talking about. And he's up for the death penalty. And they had put all kinds of trumped up charges against him. But all those charges were laid on him after he was incarcerated. And so even the lady at Fox News, made the statement. He says, well, isn't that strange that they could put charges on a man for rape and other kind of things, you know, that were charges that were when he was in prison. So you can tell automatically that the charges are false to begin with. And it's purely because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, needless to say, the people that are leaving Iran to come down into Turkey, they're getting away from that Sharia law, and that's because if they don't leave and they profess Christianity after having been Muslim, born Muslim, that there's a death sentence that's placed on them also. So there's quite a number of refugees that have fled into Iran, and through Brother Jason DeMar and different ones, myself, Brother Jason Watkins, were just throwing our shoulder into that theater to help those people. When I was there, there was only 14 printed messages in the Farsi language. That's all they had, was 14 sermons, and they give their life for them.
Praise the Lord.
14. And I think grand total translated in the Persian language is about 45 or 48 sermons is about all they have translated that are in digital format, and only about 14 or 17 that were available in printed format. So the printed format is important for this one cause, that with a digital format they can look at it, turn off their device, and reboot, and it's gone. Then they may never look at it ever again. But with a printed message or tract or whatever they would have, a book, then they pick that up. Maybe they don't read it. Maybe they throw it in the trash. The trash man finds it. You see, it's in circulation then. And so it's very important that we get these messages printed so that they can be handed out and then, got into the hands of the people. So, we're just praying that the Lord will help us. We want to start right away on a church age project to get the church age book put together. I think they've got it all done digitally, and so now it's just a matter of getting it to the printer. And so just keep us in your prayers that the Lord will help us to get that done and get it in the hands of the people. Because friends, we don't know, but that last one that Brother Louis is talking about may be right there. Amen. Might be somewhere in some dark, secluded, little hid-away church over in Iran somewhere, looking for the opportunity to slip down into Turkey or whatever, so we can get, amen, that message in their hands, so they can come to this glorious end-time thought. Now, this evening, I want to just, it's very, it's kind of I guess one of those little thoughts that the Lord hands down and from heaven to you. And just meant a lot to me as I studied this out, and I've been able to share some of these things when we were over in Yugoslavia. And the Lord helped us while we were there with those saints during the spring and the fall. And so we just pray that you'll pull on your end of the saw, and I'll pull on mine. All right? Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. In our scripture text this evening, we read the Lord Jesus calling his disciples. We had just, if we had read the chapter, we would find there where he was calling Peter. And there he had also called Andrew and Philip. These early disciples were being called into the ministry to be the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus. And he comes here to this place where he calls Philip. And he says unto him, follow me. There was another time in the scripture that Brother Brown takes a message called leadership. Another place he called it, follow me also. And he used the Bible examples of the rich young ruler and of Moses, different ones that were called to follow the Lord. And so we want to look just for a moment at the rich young ruler, just as we don't want to call it a negative, but we got to have, sometimes you got to have a contrast to see, you know, your side of it. And I trust it'll be enough contrast that you'll be able to recognize it. Well, we find the rich young ruler, he comes to the Lord, and the gentleman, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and that Jesus loved him. And so, this young man asked the Lord, and you know the story quite well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus then gives him a simple Bible prescription and tells him to obey the commandments and to not to kill or to steal, commit adultery, honor his father and mother. We find that this young man was a very versed man in the scripture, and so he actually tells the Lord, but these things have I done from my youth. Now, the Lord, looking at the man, he loved him and no doubt could tell that this young man had actually done these things and had studied as a student of the Word. And being of, you know, Hebrew lineage, that was not an uncommon thing in those days. They were all quite studious concerning the things of the Word of God. And even to the Samaritans, were students of the Levitical laws and of the Hebrew writings. And we found that in the woman at the well, and that she, you could tell just by a casual look at the scripture that she was well versed in the things of God and was actually a worshiper of the Lord. But here this young man, he comes to the Lord and he gets the prescription from the Lord, and then Jesus said, but one thing that thou lackest. And I wonder tonight, if we were to come and Jesus was standing here and we would ask what we would do to inherit eternal life. If he would not give us, you know, some kind of a modern prescription to read your Bible and pray every day. And you know, to surround yourself with believers of like faith and to do these kind of things, and you as message believers, and many of you raised around the things of God, that you also would say, yes, Lord, I have done these things from my youth. For many years, we have done these things since our conversion. We have obeyed, and we've tried to be diligent to read our Bibles and listen to the message of the hour. And these are the things that we have done. And maybe you would stand like this man, but what if the Lord Jesus was to ask you tonight, and you would ask the Lord, and then he would reply to you, but one thing thou lackest. And instantly our minds would go to the scripture, and we would see what the Lord required of this man. Oh, what would it be tonight if he would require the same of us? I wonder. Boy, it'd get quiet in here, I guarantee you. I think it'd get empty pretty quick. Because I believe that here was something that was asked of a man. The Bible says that Jesus told him to sell everything that he had and invest it in gold and sacks, in land and real estate, REMAX, so that he could distribute that to the poor. No, he said, give it. In other words, he wasn't going to have two nickels when it was done. And take up your cross and follow me. Now, here at this time, it was quite obvious, you know, that this fella, he had a lot of money. And so, some of us, that wouldn't be too big of a job, you know. You know, I could probably get it all in one good size, you know, dress sock. I'd probably get it all in there if I worked at it. you know. And, but when, you know, you would take, for the example that we would give today, that we find that we're a people of material wealth. Even the poor of this country have more than much of the wealth of the world. So, but we're not really looking at that in perspective, but we're just, the question is asked tonight, what, you know, one thing that thou lackest. Many times there's things that keep us from having a beautiful fellowship with the Lord, and that's the one thing that He wants you to get rid of. And it, you may not have two nickels to rub together, but you know, there may still be one thing that thou lackest. And so we don't want nothing between our soul and our Savior at the end of the day. And so here, this young fellow, the Bible says that Jesus, when He had told him these things, that this young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions.
Amen.
And when we look at this fellow, that when he leaves and goes his way, Brother Branham makes a statement. That word that was given to that young man to follow me, he said it's still a challenge to every young man and every young woman to follow me. He said those words don't die. It never die. It's got to live forever. So the challenge has gone out today to you, young person, to you, young man, you, young woman, you, mother, you, father. The challenge has gone out to each one of us to follow the Lord. And in order to follow the Lord, we got to make sure that we have got our priorities correct as based on what the Lord would guide you as an individual to do. And so there's a lot of time could be spent on that. But I just want to, for a moment here. So then we find that when he goes away sorrowful, the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Now that love was without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Jesus didn't stop loving him. Matter of fact, he loved him so much that he kept calling that man all through his life. But yet that man built up an empire around himself, his business sense. He was quite successful. And so he had built, and we find him later in the scripture, that he is a very successful businessman, and to the point that he had actually had to tear down the barns that he had to store his wealth in and build bigger barns to keep it all in. And so then the prophet then takes us into lets us look through the keyhole, as it were, at this man's life. And we find him at a great sumptuous party, and there he is. He's got these women all decked out in jewels and everything, and he's going around and he's having toasts with the most expensive wines and champagnes of the day, and oh my, he is really living on the laps of luxury. But God loved him so much that God sent him Lazarus. And so it's quite an interesting thing, because Brother Man tells us, he said, this rich young ruler, he says, I've done this from my youth. He said, but by rejecting that call, when he turned down the Lord, that one call from God, he says that boy had been raised like that. I just closed the book for a little while and went back, and you know, If that boy had been raised like I was raised, why, he might have had an excuse. But we can't count those things. You know, today is a day of where people, that they refuse to take or to be responsible for their own actions. This is a day of blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. I'm a neurotic because my mother. I've got a lust problem because of my daddy. I've got this problem because, you know, I've got anger management problems because I got bullied in school and blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're a bunch of babies. You know, we got to man up, you know. We got to put our big boy pants on, and we've got to be men and women of the Word of God. Amen? It's time we're going to be responsible for our actions and for our behavior. And we have to say, hey, I am what I am by the grace of God. And He's given me the tools and the equipment and the ingredients, amen, to make me into the sinless bride of Jesus Christ. This word works. If you eat it, it'll materialize inside of you and it'll produce in you the same thing that it did in William Branham. That's the truth. But Brother Brown says this boy, he said a boy had been raised in a home like that. Doesn't explain it. He just says in a home like that. He said that would never have got away from him. And I got to thinking about that. What is that? What is that? And so we have to, you know, we have to put all the dysfunctionality of our modern 20th century and 21st century lifestyles. We have to put that away. Let's go back and just sit down in normal. Let's go down into normal world for a little while and just think of what that was. That he had a good, godly mama and daddy. Amen. That mama and daddy had taught him to do his chores. That mom and daddy had taught him how to read and write, do his arithmetic and history, and taught him the Bible. And the Bible says that he learned those things from his youth. They had taught him in the scripture how you were supposed to act and to behave yourself in public. They showed him how he was supposed to dress and how he was supposed to keep his hair cut and how he was supposed to treat a lady and how he was supposed to mind his manners and how he was supposed to, you know, pick up the bread or however they ate in those days, you know, and tear it one way and eat with this and do that and sop the meat and blah, 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 you know. And there was a little bit of table manners. Some of that can be taught again, I think. And, you know, just some good, hold the door for the sister, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, just be gentlemen and be ladies and these things that this is what he was saying to be raised in a home like that. He said you wouldn't think that he would ever have got away from that kind of teaching. Just common decency. Common consideration of your neighbor. Just being normal. It's hard to find normal anymore. People, you do something normal any day these days and people look at you funny. There was a lady one day coming in this gas station. I opened the door for her and she stopped and looked at me like I was going to mug her or something. And I let her in. She just kept looking at me like, and I go, well, there is a few of us still in the world. Amen. And, but you know, raised in a home like that, I got to thinking about that. Just that part that, and Brother Brown emphasizes on that. That there was something that had been contributed into that young man's life that should have been able to keep him all the way to the consummation. You would have thought it would have been good enough. How many times have you quoted the scripture to raise up a child in the way that they should go? How many times have you held on to that when those kids went wild? When they got out on the street, when they started acting up and different ones? Well, you know, they was raised right. They had some good bringing up. And we think about that in this hour that we live in. Many of us, you know, we weren't all raised in the laps of luxury. We weren't all raised with, you know, the etiquette and, you know, civil law with our upbringing. So maybe there was some excuse, but since we come into the Word of God, we don't have an excuse. The prophet of God teaches that the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He comes when he's invited. He makes his appointments. He does what he says he'll do. And so that being our example, we ought to at least have some good Christian bringing up. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this fella. But I want you to see something. That after all that good teaching, raised up in a home like that, would have never got away from him, but it did.
Amen.
It did. And there laid a man at the gate by the name of Lazarus. Brother Branham says that that man was in there living sumptuous and with wine and a great feast. And he paints us a picture of this man with his barns and his successful business and everything and his, you know, his hobnobbing with the up and ups and the who's who. And through all of that, friend, there laid Lazarus out on his doorstep. Begging for the food, Brother Branham said, that wasn't thrown out to the beggar, but was thrown out to the dogs. He was going to eat the dogs' food, friends. Now then, but Brother Branham said, that should have never happened because of the way that that man was raised. Because if you go back in the Bible, you'll find that there was always a provision for the man who came and sat at your door, that you were to give him a portion. You weren't to turn your back on the poor. You weren't to do those things. That was good, old-fashioned, Levitical upbringing. And friends, that got pushed down into Christianity. And so much of the Bible says that they had everything in common and they wasn't going to let somebody die on their doorstep of starvation. But this man, Brother Branham tells us that this man had been so polished with society. Oh, I wonder, friend, have we got to the place in our lives where we've become so polished by society that we've got our nose stuck up in the air so far that if it rained, we'd drown. That we've got to become the, you know, I was reading a little thing here the other day about the Pope. And the Pope was there with one of his cardinals or one of the old sages of the day gone by, and they was carrying a bunch of money into the church. Treasury that they were carrying into the church. And the Pope said, well, the days where we could say silver and gold have I none are over. And the old sage was standing there, yeah, and it also, the days are over where we could say, take up thy bed and walk. Those days are over too. Because the church had gotten so well off. But we don't want to become that way. We don't want to become so polished by society. We're going to look at this fellow just for a moment. Brother Branham said that he had got to where he had no more feeling. Just good old-fashioned, heartfelt compassion for the sinner and the ungodly and the poor wretched of the world. It ought to break your heart, friends. But so many times we've become, and this is another word Brother Ram says, he said, we had no more feeling. He says he'd become numb. Numb. Numb means like you can't feel it, numb. Like Novocaine. You can't feel it. It's numb. And he had become so numb because he had rejected the offer of Christ. Do you realize this evening, friends, that the offer of Christ still stands tonight? That offer to follow me is going around and around this room. It's stopping at each one of your address tonight. Amen. It may be row 3, seat number 1. Brother, amen, the voice of God come by there. Amen. You just take your seat number and there's your address for tonight. And let the Holy Ghost come by and invite you to follow Him. Now then, you have an opportunity now to accept that invitation, to sell out everything you got in your heart and life and follow the Lord Jesus, or you can become numb. You can be numb so that the next time that He comes by, you don't feel it. The next time that He knocks on your door, you turn a deaf ear to it and say, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of them preachers always calling my number, always reading my mail. Oh, let me tell you, friends, that you ought to praise God that there's a preacher that'll read your mail. You ought to praise God that there's a Holy Ghost, amen, that'll put it on a man's heart to begin to preach to you and tell you where you need to get right, amen, to take it into your heart and know that if you don't, someday you'll lose your feeling. You'll lose your feeling. Don't let me lose that feeling that God can still move on me. Oh, where He can still stir me up in my soul. That I can feel His presence when it comes by. That I know when God is dealing. It's one thing to know when the presence of God is recognized. It's a good thing to recognize the presence of God. Oh, but it's another thing, amen, to not recognize His absence. That's the problem with the church today. Many times they do not recognize that God is absent, that He's already left the church, and He's on the outside knocking, trying to get His way back into your soul, and God has already left the building. And when that happens, friend, there ought to be something in you that'll stir and begin to say, oh God, amen, come back into the house. Here's my house. Let me open my doors. Let me kick everything that's against you out. I don't want to be numb. And the Bible says that Jesus loved this man and loved him so much He sent Lazarus down there, but He was numb to the fact that Lazarus was sitting there, and that was God giving him another opportunity to find grace. Another opportunity. God loved him, sent him an old wretched, poor man that didn't have nothing. That if he'd at least been good to the bride, there would have been a place found for him. But what did he do? He said to his soul to take ease. And so the scripture tells us that that very night, you don't know when it's going to come. You have no idea. And so that very night, his number was called, and so was that of Lazarus. That was his opportunity. And the next thing you know, he finds himself in hell, calling out to Lazarus just to stick his finger in water and touch his tongue, because he had rejected the offer of Christ. Amen. Our next scene finds us with another group of people. Jesus is calling similar men. We can tell by a casual study of the scripture that Philip and Nathanael were of a similar class of people as this rich young ruler. They were Hebrews. They were students of the Bible. They've been raised in good homes. But here they were given also an opportunity. And Jesus tells Philip to follow me. Now then, Philip, the Bible says he was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then in verse 45, it says that Philip findeth Nathanael. Now, this right here is one little verse of scripture. But yet, God in this last days brought us a messenger who elaborated on this portion of scripture probably as much as any other verse in the Bible. Almost every prayer line, Brother Branham refers back to this. every time he deals with the Messiah sign, every time that when he's dealing with discernment, he always comes back to Simon and his old daddy that Jesus knew who Simon was, and his dad, and he knew that Nathanael was an Israelite. Go, you just do a casual search of it. It's hundreds and hundreds of times that Brother Branham refers back to this. And Brother Branham spends a lot of time with just this one little passage of scripture that is so obscure in the read that you almost just like go right over it. But there's something here. Philip findeth Nathanael. So now Philip is called to follow the Lord Jesus, and immediately the first thing he does is he goes and finds his best buddy. And so he goes around the mountain. Brother Ram tells us a 15-mile trek to get around there. I didn't ever find that anywhere in the Bible, but evidently it was there somewhere. But he goes around and he finds Nathanael. Brother Ram spends a lot of time on Nathanael. Nathanael, based on everything that I could find, is also another name for Bartholomew. That they're synonymous. And I didn't know that before. I just found that here just recently. And so here was this Nathanael that he went and found him. But Brother Branham finds this fellow under a fig tree. Now, this became quite an interesting thing for me, because we find that the condition that Nathanael was in, one writer says that he could often be found apart in retirement of some secluded garden under a fig tree. But it said he was downcast, despondent of spirit, looking wistfully towards heaven and to God. So then we have to understand why was he like that? Well, Brother Brown gives us a little bit of insight into that. And I found some other commentary about that. I'd like to just elaborate on his condition just for a little while. Joette gives us a little word picture here. He says, can we exercise a careful imagination and attempt to realize Nathanael's state? And he gives us some bullet points of his condition. I'll just read his condition. And if the shoe fits, then, you know, put it on. Because there's some good things that come here in a little while. But the state was that he was burdened in worship. Think about the time that they lived in. It was before the time of the Lord Jesus' public ministry. It was a time of Roman tyranny. It was a time when the Jewish religion had become just that of tradition. Even so much that that Jesus said, you've made the word of God of no effect. That it was just form and program. And so he was burdened in worship, but because it was the faith of his fathers, he embraced it, and he did what was asked of him as a Hebrew of that time. He made his way down and offered his lamb. He made his way down and was there during the time of the feast, and he put up his little tent in the time of tabernacles, and he went down and brought his wave sheaf in the time of the harvest, and he did all these things, but it was all out of form, and it was all just a burden to him. You ever feel like that? You know, you make three services a week and prayer meeting. You know, you just do those things because you know you should. You know, you get up in the morning and you read your Bible verse and you pray before every meal and you do the things that you're supposed to do because you know you're supposed to do it. But it just gets to a place where it's just like carrying a lead ball around with you everywhere you go. Joette says that he was weary in service. It got tired. Got tired. You ever get home from work and you know it's Saturday or Wednesday night and you got in late and you just got to get, you know, just enough time to comb your hair and brush your teeth and, you know, throw on a little deodorant. At least you should. For the sake of everyone else. And you get to the house of God and you're so weary and you're sitting there and you need toothpicks to keep your eyeballs from going. And the man's preaching 100 miles an hour and you're wondering, why can't I stay awake?
Come on.
Am I talking to somebody? That happens to everybody. Happens to everybody. Just be thankful they don't play a tape. That'll break your neck, boy. Got the t-shirt on now. Yeah. Oh, it's so tiring. So tiring. You wonder, oh, I'm weary in service. Here's one. Faint in waiting. Let that one sink in. Some of us have been around this thing a while. I used to think I was just one of the young guys, you know, just a boy preacher 30 years ago. I thought, oh my, what happened? What happened? I don't even know what happened. The years have like gone so fast. It just doesn't make sense how it could be so long. And you just, you know, but we believe, we were taught, we know, we read the word, we saw it, it bore witness with our spirit, and we know that these things that we embrace are not cunningly devised fables. Amen. This is the power of God unto salvation. I believe these things, friends. But sometimes I just wonder, Lord, am I going to be the next one? Lord, am I going to make it? And I get weary. I get tired. I wonder, am I gonna make it? I just don't know sometimes. And I just have to reach down and pick myself up by the bootstraps and say, hey, Dale Smith, amen, you're gonna make it. God don't make junk. Amen. God don't make mistakes. Amen. He was right the first time and he don't have to change his mind. Amen. He felt his spirit fettered by numerous rules and regulations which had gathered around and about the acts and offices of his worship. He sought to be punctual in their observation, but he labored under the heavy load. Nathaniel hungered. Think about this. This is where he was. This is what put him under a fig tree. This is what got Nathaniel to praying. I believe if we can somehow or another identify and embrace what Nathaniel felt right here. Nathaniel hungered for free intimacy and for the emancipation of a friendly walk with God. He just wanted to walk with God. He wanted to be an Enoch. He wanted to be pleasing with God. But you know what I find today is that we're not pleasing to God. We just appease God. We're not really looking to make God happy. We're just happy to keep God off our backs. Oh, there ought to be a selling out because Jesus said, follow me. And that call is still going out. And it was going out in the days of Nathanael. And Philip come to find him.
Amen.
And when he found him praying. Would to God there were some more Philips. And would to God there were some more Nathaniels. In the history I found that these men were actually given a title. They were called the waiters. Not like waiters at the restaurant. But like waiters at the train. Somebody that was waiting at the airport. Somebody waiting for the bus. They were, and you know, actually the Bible says that we went for the earnest expectation. That's what we're looking for. There's got to be a people of earnest expectation. You realize with earnest expectation that it's, I was just come from New York And I've been there several times, and what happens a lot of times, you'll be there at the subway, and there'll be, you know, your train will be coming. And you can see that it's got so many minutes or, seconds or however long that it'll be before your train gets there. And a lot of times, you can look down there and you can see all the trash and you can see the rails, and then things are electrified and you can't get down there amongst that stuff. It's dangerous. But what they'll do is a lot of times people that are in a big hurry, they'll get right to the edge. They'll look down the track so they can see that train coming. That's earnest expectation. That's exactly the way, that's the way the Bible defines it. One that cranes the neck. Oh, is there somebody under earnest expectation tonight? Amen. Have we pushed up to the thresholds? Amen. Of denominationalism? Have we pushed up through the threshold of Laodicean age? Are we leaning over into the bride age? Am I getting a good look at what's coming? Have I thrown down my sack of peanuts? Amen. Have I picked up my bags? I see the flashing red light of his coming, and I know the train is in the station, and it's time to get ready to go. There ought to be somebody under earnest expectation. But the Bible called Nathanael and ones like him the waiters. They were looking for the consolation of Israel. We find this over in the book of Luke, where it's in chapter 2 there, where it speaks, verse 25. It speaks of Simeon and how that Simeon was a man of God who had gotten so close to God that he had heard the voice of God, and that the Lord had told Simeon that he would see the Lord's salvation. That he would see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah 49 and verse 13, there was a prophecy that said, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." And so this was a prophecy concerning the Messiah. We find that John picks this up in St. John 15. And Jesus now is telling them that the Lord will send you another comforter. And this comforter was to be the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied, that the Lord would send a consolation for Israel. Simeon had heard from God, and God told him that he would see this consoler, this comforter, before he died. He had heard from God, and he knew that he would see the consolation. Has anybody, do I get some waiters in here tonight? Is there some waiters in the house? Is there somebody that's prayed through and got a hold of God and said, "I know my Redeemer liveth. I know, I feel it in my spirit that I'm looking every day earnestly expecting, amen, any moment, amen, to drop this robe of flesh and rise and seize the everlasting prize." I believe there's some waiters in the house that have been waiting for a few years. Amen. For a few decades. Amen. Some of us have been around a while, and we're looking for the coming of the Lord, for the hastening of that great millennial day. Amen. When the church of the living God shall rise triumphant in that morning. Oh, I believe there's some. They were called the waiters. Anna was a waiter. Simeon was a waiter. They knew that God had spoken to them. And when Simeon held that baby that morning, amen, in his arms, he said, "Behold, mine eyes can go to sleep now. I can rest, for I have beheld the Lord's salvation." Oh, think about it, friends. He saw it. I wonder if today, when we look into the Bible, Brother Brown says, when you look into the Bible, he said, the Lord is speaking back to you and saying, "Son, when you look into my word, You see my face. You see my face when you look into the Word. Oh, he's looking at you. He's smiling at you because he said to us, he said, oh my, he said, oh heavens, be joyful. Oh, he's speaking to you, friends, oh earth, and break forth into singing, oh you mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Oh, did you ever feel afflicted? Just look into the Word. Brother Adam says you're looking into the face of Almighty God. They were waiters. And in the long waiting, they had grown faint. Brother Branham gives us a prophetic look at the past. Somewhat dramatized. The way he explains it sometimes, I can't help but think he saw it. Whether he did or whether he didn't, he lets us have that poetic license to move into that realm with him. And he shows us things like in the Garden of Eden. He shows us things like at the burning bush. He shows us things. He actually lets us think Satan's thoughts. Yeah, he actually let us hear Satan's thoughts. Oh yeah, one time he said when Jesus was carrying the cross up the Via Dolorosa, he said we look out the window and we see those spots on his back. He said we wonder what those spots are, and then they turn into one big spot. He said we realize that it's blood. Brother Babb says we look out and we see Satan. He said that old bee of death is buzzing around the Lord. He said, there's a conference in hell. Let us go hear what he says. He said, we go down into hell and we find that Satan and death are having a conference. And Satan says to death, you've got to sting him hard this time. He said, you've got to sting him hard. You've got to finish him off this time. Because if you don't, we're finished. Oh, think about it. Hey man, we got covert spy that went down into hell and found out, hey man, Satan's greatest fear. And we found out that day on Calvary, Satan lost the battle. Hey man, and Jesus pulled the stinger out of the devil. Oh my. That's another sermon. But we get to look into prophetic realms sometimes through the message. And Brother Branham says that Philip found Nathanael. He knocked on the door. Sister Nathanael came to the door and he asked where Nathanael was. Said, oh, he's out in the orchard praying. Doesn't want to be bothered. That's a real man of God. Brother Branham talks about Amram. How the Amram teaching on Moses. That's for the little kids, but you adults can listen to this sermon too. And on teaching on Moses, Brother Bram talks about Amram. He goes up into his room and he gives his wife instructions. He said, you're going to hear me hollering and screaming up there. He said, don't come looking. Ooh, man. He knew he was going to get down to business with God. Oh, there ought to be some more dads out there that are getting serious with God. Giving their wives and children instructions. Don't come bother dad in the man cave. Because I'm going to be talking to God. Instead of doing a lot of things that they do in there. Brother Ram says that Philip finds him. He waits. He goes out in the orchard and he hears him praying. And he found Nathanael. And we know the story. And he was out in the orchard praying, under the fig tree praying. And maybe he was praying something like this. Ooh, you want to hear what Nathanael was praying? You want a little bug out in the orchard just to hear? Just for a little while right here in Happy Valley, Tennessee. Amen. Oh my, 2014. Amen. We're going to get a little bug into what happened back then that day. This is Nathanael's prayer. He said, oh Lord, we are ready for the deliverer. Oh, is there a Nathaniel in the house? Is there somebody that could pray this prayer? Is there somebody that feels it in their souls? That when they bow their heads before God, they begin to say, Lord, we're ready for a deliverer. Lord, we've been in Roman captivity all this time. Your people is suffering, oh God. They're all gone astray. It looks like all the churches has let down. And we're praying, oh Lord, send us a deliverer. Send us the Messiah. We've longed for him. We've prayed here. The days are getting past now for me. I've wanted to see the Messiah. Oh my, can you imagine, friend? He was a waiter on God. That was a sincere prayer. I wonder if that prayer has got away from us. I wonder if we're too busy praying for a new pickup truck or, you know, we're too busy praying for, you know, success in our businesses or if we're too busy praying, you know, for all these other things that are going around us. Friends, we ought to be praying for the deliverer. We ought to be praying for the Messiah. We ought to be praying for the rapture of the church of the living God. We ought to be praying for a body change. The problem is that we got away from our fig tree. He was out under his fig tree. He got to praying. No doubt he was praying in light of the word. He was reminding God of his word. And how that, you know, Brother Bam taught us that we're to remind God of His Word. He wants to be reminded of His Word. And so here was Nathaniel and he was praying and he began to go back in the scripture and he picked up Jacob and he said, but Lord, I was a lot like Jacob. Oh, I was just a supplanter. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. But God, oh God, have mercy on my soul. And he began to labor with God. And he began to wrestle. He began to wrestle with God until finally, under that inspiration, that he realized that God had heard his prayer. And he could say like David, oh, blessed is the man in whom God would not impute iniquity.
Amen.
Oh, he said, he began to think about it, that as Jacob overcame and they called him Israel. He said, oh, I want to be an overcomer like that. And then he got to thinking about that. He began to think about that ladder that went up into heaven. And he got to thinking about how that ladder, what could that ladder be? It could only be that which what Job had talked about. He said, there's got to be something. Oh, he said, if I could be like Job, I would go and knock on the door of God. And he would answer. And we'd sit down on the porch. And we'd begin to talk about it for a little while. He said, but how can a holy God touch a sinful man like me? Something's got to happen. I need somebody, a mediator. I need a daysman, somebody to stand in the gap for me. Somebody that can touch a holy God and can hold the hand of a sinful man. Oh, if I could just do it. He said, that's that ladder. That's that ladder. That's the Messiah. That's what we need today, Lord. We need the Messiah, that deliverer that can connect man with God. Maybe he was praying something like that. And he knew that in those hours of supplication unto God, that God had heard his prayer. And he had that peace that passes all understanding. He had touched God by the hand. He had known that he had met with God and that in his heart there was no guile. He knew that. He found that under his fig tree. He had got under his fig tree and he had got to praying out there and he had been so intimate with God. So personal and so private with God. That God knew every secret of his heart. Oh, that's the kind of relationship you need tonight, friend. That we just get a sweet love affair where you can make love with a Savior. And it's just your sweetest, most intimate secrets. You can commune with him back and forth. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And so Nathaniel, he had experienced these things. And so after he said amen, then Philip come around and said, hey, come and see. I found the man you're talking about. He said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He said, there ain't no way. There ain't no real good thing coming. He said, just come and see. He said, and now then this is where the drama picks up again. We don't hear none of this in the Bible. But they're walking around the 15 miles. They're going back around to the other side of the mountain. Philip begins to tell him, hey, you know the old fisherman? Simon? Yeah. His brother Andrew? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bought fish from him lots of times. He said, man, we bought fish from their old daddy, Jonas. He said, yeah, that's what I'm fixing to tell you. He said, this Jesus, he called Simon and called him by name. Not only that, he said, Simon Bar-Jonah. He knew who his old daddy was. He knew who Simon was and he knew who his daddy was. He said, you know, I don't doubt but what we're going to get around there. He's going to tell you who you are too. Y'all ever hear that on tape? Okay, about 20 of you. Okay. Well, that's a good tape. Anyhow. So he says, I believe he's going to tell you who you are. So they get around there. They come walking up in there. What's the first thing he tells him? Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Now, for him to refer to him as an Israelite, first of all, he was speaking to him concerning his experience that he had just had, where he had prayed through and come from Jacob to Israel. He knew that there was no guile in his heart and that he was identifying himself with Israel and not as one of the sons of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, see? But no, he identified himself with Israel. And so when Jesus called him an Israelite, he was speaking to him concerning somebody who had overcome. Somebody who had wrestled with God and who had made peace with God. Was a prince with God. So he was already beginning to, he had his number and he was talking to him from the realm that we would all love to be spoken to from. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus or Brother Branham or Brother Dale or Brother Donnie or anybody would come up to you and say, you're a genuine Christian, brother. I can see that aura around you. Oh my, your head would swell up that big. Oh, bless God. Oh my. But what was it? There was something that had happened that this man, he begins to deal with him at this overcoming level. And Philip says, preacher, when did you ever know me? Now he's going to get big. Because he's going to tell him something that happened just the day before. That only God and Nathaniel knew anything about. He said, when you was under the fig tree before Philip called you, I saw you there. Now then watch what happens. This is where it gets real dicey, because what's happening here is that this man who was a taught man of the scripture, watch how Brother Bram says this, that taught man of the scripture, that predestinated seed to eternal life, when that light flashed across him, he said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Not his dress did it. His size didn't do it. His style of his hair, the way he parted his beard, that had nothing to do it. But the spirit that was in him showed that it was God, the Word made flesh, because it could discern the thoughts that was in his heart. Now then, we find that he was a taught man of the scripture. And no taught man of the scripture would have looked at another mortal being in that day, especially a Hebrew, to any other man under any other circumstances and would have never called him God. Because when he called him the King of Israel, it was implied, it was known who he was speaking about. Amen. When he called him, you are the Son of God, he was speaking to him in light of the theophanies, or the representation of God, or the manifestation of God that was promised to Israel under the waiters to the comforters. Of the comforter to the waiters. And so they already knew that when this one would come, that he would be called the Son of God, because unto us a son is given. They knew that this one would be called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, even though he would come in sonship office. And when he called this man the Son of God, in the eyes of the Jews of that day, he blasphemed and should have been stoned right there on the spot. But he took that step of faith because he identified the spirit that was inside of him, recognized that there's no way this man could have known what happened out there under that fig tree. There's no way it could have happened. He knew that. And so the supernatural manifestation that happened to him was exactly the same manifestation that happened at the woman at the well when he began to tell her about her five husbands. It was something that was irrefutable and undeniable, and therefore they had to identify him as the Son of God. Oh, but it gets better. There surely was something in the tone. I believe this was Spurgeon wrote this thought. He said, there was surely something in the tone of the Master which called forth the jubilant response from Nathanael's heart. But there was more than this. Under the fig tree was a phrase which recalled a deep personal experience. So this fig tree was more than just a one-time visit that Nathanael had, but it was a lifetime of visits. As a matter of a fact, according to the Syriac dictionary, that his mother had laid him under the fig tree when he was an infant, when the infants were being slain at Bethlehem. If it could be depended upon, it must be to Nathanael a surprising and undeniable proof of the deity of Christ, and of this being the true Messiah, since at that time he was an infant of days himself, and was the person Herod was seeking to destroy as the Messiah and the King of the Jews. So Jesus was a baby at the same time that Nathanael was a baby. And when Jesus was carried down into Egypt so that the scripture might be fulfilled, that I have called my son out of Egypt, at the same time there was a bunch of other people that were having to hide their babies. And it just so happened that Nathanael's mama was successful and hid that baby under a fig tree out in the backyard until the wrath was passed. Whoa, I wonder tonight, amen, if there's any mamas. Amen, Nathaniel's mama, are you in the house tonight? Do you got a little Nathaniel that you need to lay under a fig tree somewhere and put him there in prayer and hold him there? He may be 30 years old tonight, but put him under the fig tree and apply the token to his life and begin to pray for him. Amen, because someday Jesus is going to call him. There's got to be, amen, we've come to a place where we need to put our children, we need to put our lives under that fig tree. We need a fig tree in the yard tonight. We need a fig tree in the house tonight. Oh, we need to find a place. Because Nathanael knew what it was to be under a fig tree. It was life and death under the fig tree. Had a brother one time tell me that his mama had an old stump out behind the house. She's an old saint. A precious sister, good friends of ours. He was telling me that she had a stump out in the backyard where she'd go pray by a log. She was always inviting him to come pray with her out at the log. I told him, brother, you better not wait too long. Mama might go on before you and you'll miss that appointment. You might miss that appointment back there at the log. It might be life-changing for you. Oh, my. But what was it? Amen. Every good Holy Ghost-filled mother has got a fig tree somewhere where she calls on God for her children. Dads ought to have a fig tree somewhere where they call on God for their family, where they call on God for the church. But this fig tree spoke of something so much more than just a place to pray. But it spoke of an intimacy. It spoke of a knowing, because Jesus himself, at the time of Nathanael being placed there, he was a baby himself. So it had to be something more than just a human intelligence. It had to be a divine revelation from God. And that God had showed the Lord Jesus, him being God, but saw it in vision form and knew where Nathanael had been and also what he had been praying about. We're praying, O Lord, send us a deliverer. Send us a Messiah. We've longed for him. We've prayed. The days are getting past now. And I wanted to see the Messiah. Jesus says, when you were under the fig tree, before Philip called you, I saw you. What kind of eyes were those? What kind of eyes were those that could see into that secret place, into that private world, where that man was petitioning God? And here was the very man to answer the prayers in person. Oh my. This phrase, when you're under the fig tree, I saw you. It's actually very, very more than just a visual recognition. It was more than he just saw him praying there and he knelt down there and I heard him. I heard what he said. No, it was more than that. But the word that's used there in the text is more than just a bare recognition. It was more than that. Nathanael was just being noticed. God just didn't notice you. God didn't just recognize you. He said, I saw you there. That word saw has a great meaning. It means I understood.
Amen.
That he understood that you've been praying there since you were a little boy. He understood that your mom had put you under there. Not only that, but he understood why you were praying there. He understood. You see, friends, our fig tree is where God, amen, where we can talk to God. But you realize that it's more than just I have a conversation with God, a little talk with Jesus. No, it's more than that. It's more than just saying prayers. It's just more than just vain repetitions. But when we realize, when we can come to the place that God understands you, that God understands what it's like to be a little 5-year-old boy and to have his whole life turned around because his little mind was polluted with pornography and violated as a little boy. God understands those things. He knows what it is to be a little girl and to be fondled and manhandled by relatives. God understands what it is to be sexually molested. God understands what it is, amen, to be thrown out and forsaken and God forsaken and left alone. God knows what it is to be hungry. God knows what it is to be lost. God understands those things, and he understands you, and he knows why you are the way you are. He knows what you've been through. He knows what it is for a woman, amen, who is abused by a man. He knows what it is, amen, to be a boy that's abused by his daddy. He knows what it is to be a little child, amen, that's been thrown across the room. Amen. He knows what it is. He knows what you are, friends. Oh, he understands me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. He understands that I am. There's some of my human experiences. And therefore, he says, I saw you. I saw you there. I saw you at the altar when you were praying. I saw you when you were sitting there and you wanted to blow your brains out. I know what it was when you wanted to end it all. I was there with you. I understand what you're going through. He's still the same God tonight. He's still coming by your fig tree. He still knows what your prayers are. He still knows what your thoughts are. He knows what your fears are tonight. He's very mindful. He doesn't just recognize you, but he knows you. He knows you and he understands you. Because when he come as a comforter of Israel, our scripture in Isaiah continues and says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forsake her sucking child that she should not have the compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, now watch, this is many times mistranslated or misread. You remember it one way and you quote it, and you quote it wrong. The Bible says that he says, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Everybody says, well, he just put my name there. No, he did not put my name there, because that's not the name I'm going to have when I get over yonder. He put me on there. He put all of me, every last bit of me, all of my mistakes and all my failures and all my phobias and all my complexes and everything about me. He put me right there, and then he scarred it with nails and drew blood over the top of it. Amen. So that he could understand me and that he could forgive me no matter what I did. Or how far I fall, his arms will reach down. His blood, it reaches to the lowest valleys. Amen. It reaches to the highest mountains. Amen. And the blood will never lose its power. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, friends. He knows you. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've come through. He understands, friends, you know, what it is to come right down to death's door and then to come back from that and to feel the rejection and the complexes and all the depression and all the things that you've gone through. God understands those things. Just put your burdens, cast all your burdens on him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. And sunshine and shadow, he careth for you. He knows where you've been, friends. He understands you. He knows when you've failed. He knows when you've made the most horrible mistakes of life and you think that there's no way that God could even forgive such a horrible sinner like me. Don't listen to that old devil. Don't listen to that old devil. When gloom and sadness whisper, you sin, there's no use to pray. Then I look away to Jesus and he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge and lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Let's stand to our feet this evening. Oh my. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let wash his white hands. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh. power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, are you washed in the blood? In that soul cleansing blood of the yet he loved me. I like that song. I couldn't lead it out, so I need a little help. Oh, he knew me. Yet he loved me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, that has to be election, friends. Because there's no way he could have loved me after I was born. That's too mean. Oh, my. No way he could have loved me after I was born. So he had to love me before I was born. My Bible says he loved me before the foundations of the world. Amen. I'm so glad. Help me out. Yeah, help me out.
He knew me.
He still knows you tonight.
Yeah, he loved
me. He knows everything about you. Oh.
He whose glory.
All the heavens shine.
So unworthy,
so unworthy
of such mercy. When he was on
Spirit, I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But He'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special
kind. I'm one of those waiters. Hallelujah.
When He was on the cross, I was on. Yeah,
you
love me.
I saw you there. Hallelujah.
He whose glory,
His glory fills
the heaven shine. On His face.
Yes, it was.
A crown of thorns on His head.
Oh, Jesus.
The blood ran
Jesus.
Down that scarlet robe.
That was done for me.
Stained it crimson red. Though His eyes were on the crowd that day.
Heavenly Father, Lord, when we think about how far You've brought us, what You've brought us through, Lord, where we could have been. Lord, it's always good to go back and remember that mercy rewrote my life. So many times I should have died. So many times I could have backslid. So many times that the devil thought he had my number. I was down for the count. Oh, but it was down while I was down on my face. I could hear the referee. He was counting out my numbers. But it was down there. I could say, Lord, I need a deliverer. And somewhere from a world I don't know anything about, strength come into my body. Strength come back into my mind. Come back into my old prayer bones. I begin to call upon God. Oh, and I can feel this sweet Holy Spirit come down and take me by the hand. Say, get up, son. We're going to go another round. Oh, he'd take me over to the corner. Give me a fresh drink. Oh, those springs of living water. Oh, I could feel the cooling breezes of Calvary begin to blow upon my face. Oh, and I'd fill my lungs with the sweet Holy Ghost. And I'd say, look out, devil, here I come. I'm going for another round. Oh, and I know that He'll help me. And that, Lord, that You'll keep us. And this little bride is going to continue to fight day and night. Day and night. Week in, week out. 24/7. We're not quitting. We're not backing up. Oh, but God, help us to renew our courage. Renew our strength. Lord, may we hear the voice of God that says, follow Me. Lord, as those commanders, as they come off the amphibs and they're coming onto the beach at Tarawa and Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Lord, when they come into those different places, Lord, into Suribachi and all the different islands of the Pacific. They would run to the beaches and those commanders would say, follow Me, boys. We're going to the top. We're going to set this flag, this ensign for the Lord. Oh, for the right of freedom. We're going to fight for the right of freedom. Oh, God, let us be those that would not be afraid, but be identified with Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, that we would walk as those disciples walked and they gave their lives one by one. Oh, God, the earth was stained with their blood and this gospel is dripping with it tonight. Lord, that we would not be afraid to give our lives, Lord, for the cause of Christ. And for this gospel that we hold so dear. Lord Jesus, we just pray, God, tonight, Lord, that every heart, Lord, would be identified with Christ. Lord, that we wouldn't shun to declare the whole counsel of God. Give account of the hope that lies within us. Lord, encourage the weak. Lord, those that have failed You along life's way. Lord, it's just stumbling blocks. Just stumbling stones along the way. But let us find those steps that are marked with blood. Lord, that we could continue to walk in this pilgrim way, we pray. Help us, Lord. If there's any that are undone and do not know God, lost without hope tonight, that have heard this message. Oh, God, may You know them tonight. May You recognize them, Lord. Not just with a physical recognition, but a supernatural knowing of their innermost being, that You could quicken inside of them a seed. Lord, that they could walk into Your presence and realize that I didn't just become a son of God. I was always a son of God. Lord, we're coming into recognition now. Help them to see it. Help us each one to realize that You didn't call us to let us go back. You didn't save us to let us drown. Oh, but God, You have a purpose in every life, in every one of us. Lord, let us see our purpose and walk in it. For Your prophet said, when we find our purpose, in that is resurrection. Lord, we know that these bodies, some of us will go by way of the grave. No doubt that the next time I come, maybe some will have already crossed over onto the other side. But Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that every heart would be ready to make that journey. Maybe that journey would be today. We don't know when our journey will come, but that our hearts would be ready to cross the divide, we pray. Help us, everyone, as we commit our souls into Your care. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Maybe we'll close this evening and I'll dismiss you to prayer. I've said this many times. I don't know how to dismiss a service. I've been at this 30 years. You'd think I'd figure it out by now. But I just don't know how to do it. I've tried and tried. And I can't tell y'all to leave this. So you're on your own. You go as you feel led. And if you want to stay and pray, well, you stay and pray. If you want to fellowship out, like going out and fellowship, that'd be fine. But we just have to believe that all hearts are clear. And if you need prayer, why, we'll sing a bit song of benediction. And if you need prayer, why, you come on down. We'll pray for you. Pray with you as long as you need. That's the only way I know how to do it. So I didn't ever go to the theology to figure it out. I knew how to get it started, but I didn't know how to quit it. Kind of like my Christian experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we'll sing that little song of the church, Mercy Rewrote My Life. And we're going to invite you back this evening. Y'all drive careful now on the road. You know, give a little extra distance. Drive slow. And the highway's wet. We don't want nobody to get hurt. Don't want you to mess up your car. It caused marital problems. Depends on who's driving, I guess. No, but you don't want to do that. You want to be careful. Slick roads and things. I want you to have a car to come back to church tomorrow. Amen. So we love you and thank you for being here this evening. It means a lot. Come out on a cold night like that and here's some old 2x4 preachers that don't really know what he's doing. Oh, but we love the Lord. Amen. Love him with all of my heart, I do. Amen. Help me out, Brother Harry.
Mercy rewrote.
God bless you, friend. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord.
Mercy rewrote my life. Have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Mercy,
Jesus,
rewrote my life. Mercy. Have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy.